Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour back in our Father's Word, Book of Mark. We're going to pick it up today with Christ's words on the cross. Let's just cover that verse if we may. Chapter 15, verse 34. And that 34th verse was Christ's words on the cross where he said, "And at the ninth hour," that's 3 p.m., that's time for the daily sacrifice in the evening, to be offered, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And naturally, Christ never called our Father God. He always called him Father. So what is he doing? And he's quoting scripture to teach you God never forsook Christ. God never forsakes anyone unless they deserve it. That is to say that they forsake him. Then naturally he will turn his back on you if you forsake him without repentance properly and so forth. So here he is on that cross and he cries out. What does he want you to know? He wants you to know that 1,000 years before the fact, in Psalms 22, David said these words. And David prophesied, David was a prophet, you know, you can document that in Acts chapter 2. He was a prophet, and he prophesied that 1,000 years later, Christ would be nailed to the cross. And that should encourage you to know you can count on God's word if you read it with understanding. This is why Christ told us back in the 13th chapter, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." The problem is, have you read it? Have you read it with understanding? So, having said that, we're going to go to the 22nd Psalms, and we're going to see some of these things that are written, and that was spoken on the cross, but there is a deeper message here because as when we complete this psalm, you will see that he was thinking of you. That is to say, his election in the generation of the fig tree. So here we go, Psalms 22, verse 1. You're going to have it on your screen. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my mouth roaring? This lamentation, this sad song I'm singing, this was David's song. Not the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, "O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent." I don't get any rest, I just keep praying and praying. God always hears, don't ever doubt that. Verse 3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." And Israel should praise the Father for what he's done for them. Verse 4, "Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them." He always does. Father always, when they brought God into the equation of what they were doing, they always won. They always overcame. And so, what does that document? Have God with you. Always pray to him on a project that you're doing and ask him to bless it and to bless the work of your hands. There's nothing wrong with that. And when you have God with you, who can be against you? Doesn't matter. Verse 5, "They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded." They were never ashamed. Because they trusted in you and that trust was well put. Verse 6, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people." This is the way they were treating Christ. This worm is tolo. It's a caucus. It's a they make a dye from it, a red dye, and who is this that cometh wearing red? In other words, they had bloodied him up. They had a crown of thorns on him, and they had beaten him. And that's the way they were treating him. No respect whatsoever. Verse 7, and they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, you see, I told you to remember these words because they were words by the high priest and others at the foot of the cross. Listen to it. 8, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Matthew 27 and verse 43, you can read that, where they actually said it to him hanging on that cross. All this was written long ago, 1,000 years before the fact. And it transpired exactly as it was written. What does that tell you? You can always count on God's word. If you'll read it with understanding, if you will understand what it is God would have you derive from the truth from it, for there's nothing new under the sun, that has been shall be again. Are you sharp enough to pick up on it? Verse 9, to continue. And thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. God was always with him, even when he was a 12-year-old lad. He was the living word walking. The word became flesh and walked among us. When he was 12 years old, they went for a census taking, and at the Sanhedrin, the so-called scholars were questioning him, and they were amazed at this 12-year-old lad that had all the answers, this knowledge. God always protected him. Verse 10, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. And so it was with David, and so it was with Almighty God. Verse 11, be not far from me, for trouble is near, and for there is none to help. I mean, they'd all scattered. Other than a few women on a hill close by, he didn't have any help. He was hanging on that cross between two malefactors. And they were jabbing at him, cursing him. Verse 12, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. This was, Bashan was known for its huge animals that were bullies. 13, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a raving and a roaring lion. Their mouths were against me. Everything that I had done, what did he do? Well, he healed the sick. He cast out demons. He fed the multitudes. What had he done wrong that they could make accusations? Nothing in truth. But you see, a mob will always lie. And God is letting you know here that they would do exactly that long before the fact. Verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My bones are out of joint because they nailed me to this cross, and my arms are pulled from socket. And so it is. He was approaching that time. Verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, an old dry piece of pottery. I can hardly swallow. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me unto the dusk of death. It's almost the end of the day for me. I'm about to pass. Verse 16, for dogs, that's to say the enemy, have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. And they did, they nailed him to that cross. Bear in mind, this was written 1,000 years before it came to pass, even down to the words that the chief priest would be saying. You see, man cannot arrange that. Your Father can. That's why Christ, I feel, requoted this entire psalm. And I'll document it when I finish this psalm, that he quoted the whole thing. Verse 17, I may tell all my bones, they look and they stare upon me. All the disciples had split. Just the enemy there. 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. How could anyone know? That's what the Roman soldiers were doing. They were gambling for his robe at the foot of that cross. This again was written 1,000 years before the fact. Who told the Roman soldiers to do that? The mighty hand of God caused it to come to pass. Why? Because of you. So that you could know of a certainty that you could trust the word of God, that it always comes down as it is written. Have you ever read it? Verse 19, be not far from me, O Lord, my strength, haste thee to help me. Our strength does come from him. When all else fails, he's with us. Always will be, always has been, and you can certainly count on it. Verse 20, deliver my soul from the sword. My darling, this word darling should be soul also. It's the same word in the Hebrew. Darling, from the power of the dog, that is to say the enemy. Deliver me from this enemy. God can always do that, and God will always do that. To our Heavenly Father, the enemy is nothing. He's just a blot on the horizon. But his precious children are precious to him. He loves them. He takes care of them. He follows them if they follow him. And he does love them. Verse 21, save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. You can scratch unicorn, that's mythology. The word in the Hebrew is wild ox, okay? There's no such thing as a unicorn. But save me from this. Verse 22. This particular verse you can read in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. It's why Christ came to this earth to die on this cross. Listen to it. I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Again, that is written in the second chapter of Hebrews, where it tells that from 12 to 14, why he came to this earth, why he died on the cross, is to destroy death, which is to say the devil. That's why he did it. And that will exactly bring about the destruction of the devil. That second chapter of Hebrews is a powerful, powerful chapter, because it lets you know also that God doesn't ask you to do something in these weak bodies, flesh, that he would not do himself in the body of Christ. And he could cut it. He was the one that was crucified. Verse 23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. If you love him, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. This word in the Hebrew translates fear or revere, either one, your choice. Always love him, that's what he wants from you. All ye the seed of Israel. How could you help but love him? That he would pay this price as a ransom for us, to cut us loose from the hang-ups of this world, to redeem us, the redeemer of all, in this way, on this cross, to pay that price, that ransom. How precious it is to be a servant of the living God. How precious it is to be called a child of God. Verse 24, For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. He always does. When you hurt, he hears you. That's why you want to talk to him. You know, this gives you a prime example of why you don't want written out long prayers. You want to talk to him. When you're hurting, tell him. Share that with him and ask direction and so forth. My God, you're his child. He loves you. He's got time for you. Verse 25, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him, that love him, that have it coming. Verse 26, the meek, that's to say the humble, shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. You want eternal life? This is the door. You don't want to scatter and leave him as the disciples did while he was hanging on this cross. You want to stick with him. You want to be with him. You want to be called faithful. Faithful to the Heavenly Father, that he can count on you to make a stand against the false one or whatever it is that God would have you do. Here I am, Father, use me. Let him know that and be used. God always takes care of his own. Verse 27, listen carefully. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. Every knee on the first day of the millennium is going to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. This one they have nailed to this cross. Every knee, every soul is going to bow to him on the Lord's day. He has done this. This is why you want to love him now. This is why you want to allow him to ransom you now. It pays great dividends to be a child of God. Why? Because God always takes care of his own. Or you can drift in this old world and there's a lot of hard times out there. I personally believe that the third that followed Satan in the first earth age are living today. You want to get out there and walk with them? You don't have to look very long to discern that. You can tell by looking. Verse 28, for the kingdom is the Lord's, the king and his dominion, and he is the governor among the nations. You can just count on that. Why would you look for another, and why would you want to look after somebody that doesn't amount to a hill of beans? And you have the Father, one that loves you enough he would do this for you so that your sins could be just washed away, taken care of. Verse 29, and they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. There's no way you can create your own salvation. That's what we're talking about here. You cannot keep your own soul alive. Well, you see, they have this thing now where they can reproduce a human being and clone him. Oh, you think so? Well, show me one, okay? Because there isn't any, all right? You can't keep alive your own soul. Only our Heavenly Father can do that. And when people mess around with things like that, that's a good way to bring the Father down, to give you a good talking to and visit your little old life and rearrange things for you. Maybe sometimes not for the better for you. You always have an eternal soul because you believe on this one that was willing to do this for you, to die on that cross. Verse 30, here comes you, a seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. It's a generation of the fig tree. It's the generation that lives after the year of our Lord, 1948, when Israel become a nation again, with both the good and the bad fig planted there, in prophecy fulfilling day by day. 31, they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. Now, the equivalent in the Hebrew that he hath done this is the equivalent of the Greek in John 19:30, where he said on the cross, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost, the spirit. So therefore I say, he quoted the entire Psalm for those, it is finished, that he hath done this, is his last words on the cross. He accomplished what he came here for, was to pay the ransom for you and for all those that would love him, all those that would follow him. You know, it is amazing that he paid so much attention to this generation. Like even when he's carrying that cross up to Golgotha, he would say in Luke 23, daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me. Weep for those that are not barren, meaning that fall off and wed the false Christ when he returns. Because if they will do this in the green tree, meaning in my flesh body while the blood runs, what are they going to do in the dry? That means the Holy Spirit. And many of them are going to trump on the Holy Spirit, not receive it, go against it, and what a mistake that is. Because the beauty of his endeavors in accomplishing this act for us, in all of the opposition that came against him that day, when God, at the time that ninth hour rolled by, 3 p.m., God could have sent a whole army and ended the whole thing. But no, it was time for salvation. It was time for he that came to die on that cross as a ransom. That word in the Greek means to set free, to loosen. And he loosens your heart, mind, body, and soul from the troubles of this world. Now, returning then back again to that 15th chapter of the great book of Mark, let's go with it a little ways here. Verse 35, as we continue after his words on that cross. And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, behold, he calleth Elias. When he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, he's calling Elias. He wasn't. 36. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And do you understand that this is written also, that they would do this? You'll find it in Psalms 69. And you would find it in 69 verses 21 through 28. You're not going to have it, but listen to it. I'm going to read Psalm 69. Verse 21, they gave me also gall for my hot meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. This was a long time ago. You see, there's nothing left unturned. This was the Roman soldiers' poor man's wine, okay? Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. And that's what, if you pass salvation, if you don't understand the word, you're in a heap of hurt. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Let them be afraid of this world and everything that's in it. Worry, worry, worry. Everything's going wrong. Why don't you talk to the Father? 24, pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. And so it is. You do not want to be lost. You do not want to leave God out of the equation. You don't want to mock Christ who paid the price on the cross. Do not mock him. It does not pay dividends at all. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. In other words, they're going to be vagabonds. There's just nothing going to be there. It's an abomination. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. They say, God doesn't know. God lets it happen. In other words, when God corrects people, they jump on the bandwagon and take credit for themselves. Don't ever be guilty of that. Bad, bad, bad. 27. Add iniquity, sin, unto their sin, iniquity, and let them not come unto thy righteousness. They're not fit. Verse 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. I'm going to tell you something. Do you know what happens when you're blotted out? That's what the lake, God is a consuming fire. And when he blots you out, you just don't exist anymore. It's as though you never existed. Do you know why there's no tears shed in heaven, why everybody's happy there? They do not remember one iota about anyone to weep for because they're blotted out. They don't exist. And when they're blotted out, it even blots them from your mind. Our Father is able. Don't mock the Lord Jesus Christ and the price he paid. It's not healthy, and I assure you it upsets our Heavenly Father. He does not appreciate it at all. Okay. Verse 37, returning to chapter 15, the great book of Mark. And Jesus cried with a loud, cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. There it was. That was the words in John 19, verse 30. And so it was, Verse 38. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Now, the old law was only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies. And it had to be at this very hour on Passover, once a year. And just as the old high priest who has passed this sentence and done his little yappity-yappity about the Lord Jesus Christ, he's ready to enter. There's a divine intervention in Almighty God, rips that veil. It's thick. It's heavy. He ripped it from top to bottom, which says to you, be bold and come on in. You don't have to have a high priest. Come to me, my children. I paid the price on that cross, and I'm opening it to you. I would like to have seen the face on that chief priest when that came to pass, and his great little trickery that he pulled once a year. He was blowing right out of the saddle. I don't mean literally, but spiritually. How precious our Heavenly Father is, that he, again, right at 3 p.m., right at the time of the daily sacrifice, let me ask you again, who was the sacrifice for that Passover? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, he became our Passover. He was the Passover lamb that was slain and that paid that price for us. Verse 39 to continue. And when the centurion which stood over against him, this is a Roman soldier, the boss, saw that he so cried out and gave up the spirit, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Made a believer out of him when he saw these things come to pass. Verse 40. There were also women looking on afar off. God blessed them. They didn't run. They were just on a hill, just a little ways away from Moriah. Among whom was Mary Magdalena, bless her heart, seven demons Christ put from this woman. She was certainly, she's called a harlot by some in ignorance. She was never called a harlot in God's word. She was possessed of an evil spirit, seven of them. And Mary, the mother of James the Less and Joseph and Salome and Zebedee's wife, here it goes that they stayed there because they loved him. They were observing and watching. I would say one thing for John. Jesus told him to take his mother, Mary, home and to stay with her. So Jesus did send John away. Verse 41, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. They were all there, ready to serve. God blessed them. You know, it had to be a comfort. It had to be a comfort to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew they were there through all this. Verse 42, and now when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. Now, which day would that be? 14th of nice. The Sabbath comes on the 15th, regardless of what day of the week it is, okay. Verse 43, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. He could do this boldly, why? He was a kinsman redeemer. He was his uncle. He was Mary's uncle. He was a rich man. And in Glastonbury, England, as we have the traditions of Glastonbury, you see Joseph going to the tin mines, which he mined in Europe, and brought tin back and was extremely wealthy. And you'll see in the bow of this ship, this young lad, it's none other than Christ himself in his years of growing up, that naturally Joseph knew him. And by being kinsman redeemer, he had the right to claim the body, that is law. And it had to be, you understand. Do not let that get away from you, that is history. And our Father is so good to us that history from this time can be picked up. We often show the documentary Traditions of Glastonbury, or the book, if you wish to study it further. So here you have the crucifixion. We'll pick this up in the next lecture. Don't miss it. Bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, you have a question, you share it. Once you do that, please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination. We do not judge people. It's not our right. You had better spiritually discern, though, what you hear, what you read, and how you follow the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. That is your responsibility, spiritual discernment. It's a gift from God. intuitively, he lets you know if something isn't right. If you pay real close attention, he'll touch you, and you will know that is not true. And then dig it out, get into the Word. God's Word is always true, and that truth will always set you free. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you a mailing address. Got a prayer request now? You don't need that number, and you don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. He loves you. He created you different than anyone else. Why? He wanted someone like you, but he does want you to love him. And sometimes you probably have known since a child you had a destiny and a purpose. Mark 13 probably revealed that to you. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with Garland from Mississippi. Can a person who has gone to church and read the Bible all his life but does not fully understand it be saved? I really don't know anyone that fully understands the Word of God. You can be a scholar and you can study, but anytime you think you know all there is, you're sadly mistaken. God will always give you what it is you need for the moment as you study. And certainly you can be saved. All you got to do is read John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever would believe upon him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, did he say, you got to understand every word in the book or you're going to hell? No, he didn't say that. He said, if you believe Christ is the Son of God, then you're saved. So, oversimplification, not at all. But always study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the Word of God, and it pays great dividends. Tommy from Alaska. According to 1 Timothy chapter 4, is it okay to eat swine flesh now or not? Please help. Well, what does chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 say? You got to listen to the Word. Don't let anyone judge you in marriage. That's your business. Don't let anyone judge you in food God created to be received. Now, don't read over that. What did God create to be received? Certainly not scavengers. All animals are good because they serve the purpose God created them for, okay? Scavengers take care of filth and dirt off the earth, and edible foods, he tells you in Leviticus chapter 11. Mike from Illinois. When I talk to people about the Bible and God, people seem to come down on me and are judgmental and avoid me. I don't understand why. I basically teach the same things you do. What can I do to be better accepted? Well, you know, you have to have a gift from God, number one, but first of all, just plant seeds and let God cause the seed to grow. You cannot force truth on anyone. Or what you end up doing is you end up casting your pearls before swine, and God doesn't like that. And not everybody is meant to hear the truth. If you find one soul that will listen to you, don't you be discouraged. But keep planting those seeds. If nothing else, tell them, say, hey, isn't it wonderful to know where America is mentioned in the Word of God? And take them to Isaiah chapter 18. Let them know that it is the house of Israel, that they're a part of God's Word. They have something to be interested in, and then let it sleep. If God wants them, they will come back to you and say, hey, I want to know more about this. And then you can go to work gently, gently. Nancy from Georgia, is there somewhere in the Bible of a soldier's prayer? Absolutely. You know, it is kind of a shame that this question, it's a wonderful thing that this question came out, because the Air Force today decided to no longer teach Bible scripture to those that have to push buttons to send missiles to kill people, kill our enemy. And the soldier's prayer was originally there, that we have a right to protect our freedoms. My favorite soldier's prayer you find in the great book of Psalms, 144. I'll repeat it again, 144. What does it say? Lord, well, I'm just gonna read it, okay? I feel led to just read it because of what the Air Force did. You see, it is legal to teach certain things in the Bible as long as you don't preach. But when you start preaching, that makes it a different story. But teaching from it, that's legal. Our Constitution covers that. Psalms 144, Soldier's Prayer. This is right from God's Word. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war, and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, that's my protection, and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people, the enemy, that is to say, the nations under me, under my feet, lets me stomp on them when they're an enemy of the people. That's a beautiful soldier's prayer. And you know, I have a lot of questions of men that have fought in combat. Yours truly has fought in combat. I'm a combat Marine. But I have never done anything that I know is not covered in God's Word. So it's important in our Judeo-Christian nation that the Air Force and our government picked that back up. This is overgone. You'll probably hear about it today on news, major news. But it's political correctness gone wild. Okay. We need to know what truth is. You just heard it from God's Word. I've been baptized, and I was about 40 or 50, but I'd need it again. Do I need it again? Because all of the sins that I did in my lifetime keep coming back to me, and I seem that I don't have memory loss. You don't have to have memory loss. You have to read God's Word. What did he say? And once I forgive them, I don't want to hear about it again. Do you know why? Because if God forgives it, it doesn't exist, and you're calling God a liar and a failure, not yourself. If you want trouble, you keep that up. When God forgives your sins, they're over. And as he says in more places than one, I don't want to hear about it anymore. Why? Because when he forgives you, it doesn't exist. And you make a mockery of him when you have to, poor me, baby, yourself. Oh, I'm just a sinner of all sinners. No, you're not. You're a child of God. Act like it. Candy from California. Question, Revelation 13:18, this calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. Please help me understand this. It's so simple. Have you ever read the book of Revelation? The sixth seal, the sixth trump, and the sixth vial? That's 666. What man shows up on each of those sixes? It's the false Christ, it's Satan. So it isn't a great, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. It's real simple. It's Satan. All you need, read the sixth seal, sixth trump, and sixth vial. You'll have it. Joe from South Carolina. When Jonah was in the belly of that fish, was he alive or dead for those 3 days? He was there and he was alive. He was still kicking, because when that fish regurgitated him, he needed no care to bring back to full strength. He walked right out, and the Ninevites worshipped him, because they worshipped a fish god. And here this fish god, some of them happened to be right down on the coast, he burped. There was this man, right straight from the big fish. So naturally they're going to worship him. It's too bad that Christ, after he resurrected from the tomb, after 3 days and 3 nights, that people can't worship him, that they still doubt. Irene from maybe Georgia or California, where in the Bible is the Song of Moses? Deuteronomy chapter 32. Your title will be the last verse of chapter 31, but it is the most beautiful song. It tells what happens in the end times. As you read in Revelation chapter 15, it's what those that overcome the beast and his system are singing. So naturally, you want to know the words they were singing so that you're on the right train, okay, and the right Savior. Catalina from California, where is it documented that rapists and murderers are to be sent back to the Father? Well, in more places than one, but probably one of the best places is Deuteronomy 19. If a murderer, this is not a crime of passion now. You've got to know law a little bit before you can just go judging people, God, leave judging to God and the jury. But if someone with meanness, wickedness, lies in wait and kills his neighbor, he's got to die, okay? That's God's way. He said, hey, don't you feel bad about it. You put it on me. Others will see and fear, and these things will cease happening among you. The rapist you will find in Deuteronomy chapter 22. You will find it in verses, I believe it's 24 and 25. That if you find a damsel unmarried in the field and you force her, then the punishment in verse, the 26th verse, is that the same as murder. You have to die for it, okay? Norman from North Carolina, where in the Bible did God tell man to marry a whore? Okay, it would be the great book of Hosea. And Hosea means salvation. Okay. It's kind of the prime of Joshua, which is Jesus in the Hebrew tongue. Hosea is, he told him, he said, you go marry a woman of harlotry. Chapter 1, the great book of Hosea, verse what? Two or three. It was to prove a point. Israel had gone astray. And she was whoring after other idols and everything else instead of studying God's word. And he called them Lo-Ami, which in the Hebrew tongue means not my people. And Lo-Ruhama, which is to say not loved or pitied. I don't like her. Okay. Anyway, children were born from this. And in the great long study of the book of Hosea, you find out God's working salvation to where ultimately you find out in the final prayer that God is a great fir tree. That's why fir symbolizes our Heavenly Father in the natural. And that they were again Ami, my people, and Ruhama, my beloved, because of the events that happened, and they were saved. That's what the book Hosea, salvation, means. Mary from North Carolina. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit, and who's going to judge us on Judgment Day? Our Father. That's His business. Read the last seven verses of the great 20th chapter of the great book of Revelation. It's a great white throne judgment. And He's always fair. And to pray in the Spirit means the Holy Spirit and your spirit. Not earthly, not fleshly, but in God's spirit and your spirit. The two twined together. Tim from Wisconsin. Should I attend a church that does not teach the true word of God and they teach nothing but the rapture? Or should I just continue listening to you? You know, Tim, I never tell someone who they should study with. I believe if you are one of God's elect, He will instruct you. He will lead you and guide you as to who you should listen to. It could be that you're supposed to do both. Example, you're supposed to hear the truth if you're gaining truth from this ministry. But at the same time, maybe He's having you go there for a purpose. Maybe there's somebody you're supposed to witness to and bring out into the truth. I don't know. These things we have to leave in God's hands. And God can well take care of it. But you must decide for yourself, okay? Sandra from North Carolina. Did I hear you right when I heard you say we should not eat fat from a pig? You're not supposed to eat fat from any animal. God says the fat belongs to me, don't eat it. Okay. Because it's not good for you. It's not healthy. And he wants it he wants you not to eat it. But naturally, as you read in Leviticus chapter 11 of the swine, you are not to eat. Why? Well, in its particular case, it has no sweat glands. And every bit of the poison, other than he does have a gland or two in the nose, the nostril, that can sweat, get wet. But all the rest of the poison he partakes of in rooting and scavenging, goes, it settles in his fat. And it doesn't hurt him, it doesn't kill him, but it will you. It will make you, if you're not used to eating swine, it'll make you sicker than a dog. Dottie from Georgia, do animals go to heaven? Well, God always loves his animals. He's always had them with him. He had them in the first earth age. And as you read in Revelation chapter 11, I'm sorry, as you read in Isaiah chapter 11, you find that he has animals in the eternity. They're there. He loves his animals. I love them. Denise from Pennsylvania, people keep telling me that I shouldn't be watching you on television. They put me down and tell me I should be in a real church. What should I do? I cannot tell you, Denise, where you should go. You have to let God lead you, okay? But hey, this is a real church. It is the largest independent church, not only in America, but the world. I said the largest independent, totally independent, with all within itself. It goes around the world. It has its own network on over 300 television stations. And that word of God, the truth, goes out. So God has blessed, the only way we could do that, we're just out of a small town in Gravid, Arkansas. God has built it. So God is quite happy with it. He thinks it's a real church. But you have to make your own mind up, okay? It amazes me, a lot of people that, rapture believers and so forth will say, if Arnold Murray ever gets a hold of them, you're not going to get them back, probably. Why? Well, once people see the truth, they're not going back to a lie. Okay, if they truly see it, you're not going to take them back to a lie. But it's not Arnold Murray that does it, it's the Word of God. Teresa from North Carolina, where in Revelation does it talk about the gnashing of the teeth, and what does it mean? Well, start with Matthew 13:42 and go from there, okay? There are Revelation 9 and 19. Well, there's no gnashing there, but it will lead you, take your Strong's Concordance. As I say, Matthew chapter 13:42 will get you started. Wanda from Florida. Please explain 1 Timothy chapter 4, chapter regarding the health laws. How do I answer people when they say it's okay to eat unclean foods? You know, all you have to do is read the third verse. A child can understand it. And, you know, because that is the second question we've had on that, I'm going to take a moment, if my Bible has Thessalonians in it, and it does, Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. What does it say? I'm going to go with verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, say, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Once you sear something with a hot iron to stop bleeding, there's no feeling there anymore. These people don't have any feeling, in other words. 13, forbidding to marry. Don't ever let somebody judge you in that. And commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received. Now that's the answer, which God created to be received. If you're a student of the word, with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Well, what does that mean? It means we've got scavengers for a purpose. They clean up the earth. They're good, but don't eat them. God did not create them to be received. So that's the way, let God's word explain it, okay? And it'll do quite handy. It can take care of itself. Linda from Michigan, the Lord became angry with David when he numbered the children of Israel in 2 Samuel 24 for Chronicles. Yeah, sure he was. God, why would God be angry at David for numbering the children? God wanted David to trust him, not man. Not some great big army he could count and stack up here, but without God, you'd lose anyway. God wanted him not to number to where he put his faith and strength in numbers, but in Almighty God. That holds even to this day. When you attempt something, you had better thee well have God in it with you. He doesn't like to be left out if you're his child. Well, he loves you. Victoria from South Carolina. Is gossip a sin? Absolutely. Sin, you know, if you gossip about somebody, you can ruin their reputation. You can harm their reputation. And once you, it's like a pillow. You tear it and feathers start coming out and it's hard to ever get them all back, okay? Well, that's the same way with gossip. You know, always when somebody starts spreading gossip to you, nail them, say, where did you hear that? Let's have some documentation. Okay, and I'm out of time. Maybe it's a good thing for gossipers that I am. God knows and he takes care of them. I'm out of time. I love you all because you enjoy studying God's word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, though, God loves you for it. Hey, makes his day. And when you make his day, boy, is he going to make yours. You can count on it. Why? Again, he loves you. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me and you listen good. You stay in his word every day. And his word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The book of Peter. Here we have two books, 1st and 2nd Peter, that are absolutely fascinating. That great old fisherman telling us, leading us, directing us, guiding us, going into the depth, if you would, in that second book, into the three earth ages, giving the most accurate recorded account of the events that transpire and document that there are three earth ages, that there was one before this one, and one to come. Peter, the great fisherman, which in his gentleness and his kindness brings us two books, the books of Peter, that lead, guide, direct, even in your daily life, that teach and show you how to be happy, how to find that peace of mind, and to know yourself.
The books of Peter, I know you're going to enjoy them.
Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Hey, we're ready to get back into our Father's Word. The discussion is health. I want you to remember what I stated in the last lecture, that PNBC, P for priorities. Naturally, your spiritual body comes before your flesh body, and to